Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today. And, you know, in the sports world, there are a lot of figures. There are a lot of people who are behind the scenes. You have a lot of people, of course, who are not name athletes, and you have a lot of people who are managers, who are trainers, who are supervisors, and they have an influence wherever they are. We have with us today a guy who has become a good friend, a very close friend of mine, and he is a minor league umpire supervisor. Now, I want to tell you that the minor leagues are something that is in baseball that we're talking now. The minor league baseball umpires are guys that have to really love their craft. There are usually two of them that are on the road, and we're talking about leagues in very small towns. I remember a few years ago I went to the rookie New York Penn League and actually spent some time with a guy that was in playing for the Detroit Tigers organization in Oneonta, New York. And the stadium was so small, it was just in the city park. I remember there was a payphone and it was on a telephone pole. No, I'm not kidding you at all. This hasn't been that long ago, about 20 years ago. And had a chance to talk to this guy and see some of the umpires that were involved in this league. And I've also talked to some umpires in some other of these small minor leagues, like the Midwest League, which has teams in Dayton, teams in South Bend, teams in Fort Wayne. The South Atlantic League, which has teams in Columbia. In fact, right now, Tim Tebow is playing for the Columbia Fireflies. But our guest today is Mark Lolo, and Mark is the minor league supervisor in a number of these leagues. The rookie leagues, which would be the Northwest League, the Pioneer League, which is out in Montana and Utah. And Mark is a guy who loves being an umpire, and he loves training young umpires. And beyond all of that, he also loves the Lord. So we had a chance to sit down and talk talk a little bit about what his job meant and also talk about what his faith meant. And certainly we want to share that with you today. So don't go away. We'll take a break. And when we come back, you'll hear from Mark Lolo, minor league umpire supervisor in the low A and the rookie leagues. We'll take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome back to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us. And today is a really good day. I get a chance to talk to a guy who's a really good friend of mine, Mark Lolo, who is he's our guest, and he's the minor league supervisor for a number of leagues. Let's talk about what leagues you're doing right now. You're the minor league. You're in charge of all the umpires in minor league baseball in certain leagues. This is pretty much what we call low A, right? What are some of the leagues that you're involved with?
Hey, Tom, thanks for having me back again. It's really great to be on here. So there's currently six supervisors that cover from the AA classification down. Two of us are at each level. Myself and my colleague are covering the Midwest League, which we're currently in, South Atlantic League, and once the short season starts, I'll see the Northwest League and Pioneer League.
Yeah, baseball has what are called short season. These are guys basically coming out of college baseball, and it's their first look at what it means to be a professional baseball player. And Pioneer League, Northwest League, those are in the western and northwestern parts of the United States. Northwestern League is, correct me if I'm wrong, what's that? Basically Oregon, Washington. And Pioneer League is a little further east, maybe Montana, Idaho. Is that right?
That's correct. The Northwest also covers into Vancouver, Canada, and the Pioneer League covers between, there's one team in Grand Junction, Colorado, so it's Colorado, Utah, Idaho, and Montana.
So that means you're traveling a lot. That means that you're on the road going to a lot of different baseball games where they're in some very small cities with some very young players, right?
That's correct.
Tell me a little bit about what the experience is like for you being on the road. You're like a minor league scout in many ways.
Yeah, and that's how I often explain my job. The one difference between a scout and myself is they're using a jug gun to track speed. I'm using a video camera so I can get up close and personal to each umpire to look at a number of different things. The major difference is I go down and meet with each umpire after the game and give them a post-game review. That's the big difference between a scout and an umpire supervisor.
Now, as you look for these young umpires, what are you looking for? What you can probably see, you've been in this enough now, having been a minor and a major league umpire yourself, you know what it takes to be a good umpire. What are you looking for?
Well, at this level, a lot of the big thing rolls around, do they have what it takes to control or manage the game? Are they out on the field with a good attitude? Are they working hard? And can they manage? Do they have the skills it takes to communicate effectively, to manage situations, and get a game in?
How about the players and the managers in this league? These are players that obviously are very young. Do you find that there's a lot of hot-tempered players? Do you find there's a lot of players that are frustrated, that they don't know really what the game's all about yet?
Sure. I always say at this level, a big difference from a short season umpire coming to a long season here at the low A classification is the players are a little better. Of course, that's why it's called low A. The batters can stay in at bats a little longer. They're able to foul off pitches that they don't want while they're trying to develop hitting their pitch as often as possible. Yeah, tempers can flare. Generally at this level, we see a not necessarily a higher number, but more situations where you may have brawls or intentionally thrown pitches at batters. And then it could also come down to a batting average. A guy may have been sent back to this classification for a second year. He's not seeing the results that he should be getting, and tempers can definitely flare at this classification.
Now, there's no doubt, and of course, one of the things here is you don't have as many umpires. What do you have? Two guys usually on the field, one guy that's out behind the pitcher somewhere, or on maybe around first base, and you got a guy behind home plate. That makes a big difference, right?
That's correct. There's any A ball system, so the advanced A classification down is two umpires. Once you reach the AA system, it moves to three umpires. And then the AAA system is also three umpires, but that's where your rovers, your up and down fill-in guys at the major leagues, if there's no vacancies at the top, they will come down and create a fourth man to make a four-man crew at the AAA classification.
Now, let's talk about your career a little bit. You spent some time in the minors, and of course, when you're in the minors, like any player, you got to come from the bottom up. But you got all the way to the top. You had a few games in the majors. You did a lot of spring training games. How many major league games did you do? Did you ever count that?
I did. I did count that. I got to work 10 regular season games between the 2011 and 2012 season. It's really neat coming back with you, because the last time that we were able to speak, I was actually on the field, and I can remember talking about coming from the New York Penn League through the minor leagues and working towards that goal of being a major league umpire, now being on the administrative side and kind of coming back through some of these cities and reconnecting with people. It's just been a phenomenal journey in baseball.
What's your best memory, whether it be in spring training or whether it be in the majors or even in the minors, AAA? What's your best memory? What game stands out to you, or what incident?
Well, if you were going to talk a situation, my first and only major league ejection happened in spring training 2011. It was in Kissimmee, Florida. It was the Astros hosting the Tigers, and Jim Leland was yelling at me that he wanted a balk called as I was the plate umpire. As we were, discussing back and forth, I had told Jim that he wasn't allowed to come out and argue, and the hitting coach at that time, Lloyd McClendon, he yelled out and he told me to shut up. Well, that subsequently got him removed from that game. The beauty of that game was that I had a lot of Major League supervisors there, along with Joe Torre, and following the completion of that game is when I got put on the call-up list, and later got my first game in the Major Leagues that year on July 2nd.
You know, interestingly enough, I knew a number of players in the minor leagues. We had some guys that I knew that would get on first base and would talk to you. I had a couple of guys tell me that you were one of the best balls and strikes umpires that they knew. What's the secret to being a good balls and strikes umpire?
You know, I think it really comes down to how you interact with people. As a home plate umpire, you have 18 guys, 9 on each team, that are going to step into your, what I call the office for the umpire. Home plate's the umpire's office. And these guys are going to come up 3, 4, maybe 5 times a night, and they're going to step in for a few minutes at a time. And how do these interactions go? What takes place during that at bat? But as far as calling, you know, they say it's one of the most difficult things in sports is calling balls and strikes. And while I tend to agree with that, I think just the training that you get through the minor leagues and then once you move to the Arizona Fall League and get to see your system on what's called the zone evaluation system, it actually computes out a grade for you and tells you your trends and tendencies. And obviously, you shoot to be the computer. You shoot to shoot as high a score as you can, but having game after game behind the plate, tracking fastballs, curveballs, knuckleballs, you gain a sense of what that zone is that sits over top of the plate that there are no lines drawn around.
That's a great explanation of that, and I'm sure there's a lot of umpires out there, some umpires who want to know what it takes to be a good umpire. We're going to take a break. Our guest is Mark Lolo. He's the minor league supervisor in a number of minor leagues that he's talked about, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Mark. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Mark Lolo, not only a good minor league supervisor, but a guy that I've had a chance to watch. I think the last time I saw you in a game was with the Columbus Clippers, I believe. Maybe they were playing Indianapolis Indians AAA ball. And I know you had a good experience there. And then you made a change. Tell me about what was the transition? Where did the transition come from?
So at the conclusion of the 2012 season, I had noticed that I wasn't still being called up to fill in. It's not so much that I saw the writing on the wall, but you could sense it. Obviously, there's only 76 major league jobs, and these guys aren't retiring every day. There's not a ton of openings. So I kind of sensed that things were going in a different direction. And at the conclusion of the season, I think end of October, early November, I got a call from Major League Baseball, and they had shared that they were no longer taking a look at me as becoming a Major League umpire. I'll be honest, that was a very, very difficult call to take in, but through my journey, that was 11 years on the field. I think it led me through 46 states, 3 Latin American countries. I was obviously, even though I was upset, there was kind of a sense of peace that came over me, because it was no longer the day-to-day grind of trying to fight for something that you wanted, and that ultimately God was going to open up another door. So from October, November of 2012, my on-field career came to an end.
Now, I know that faith is very, very important to you. Let's talk a little bit about where God fit in, particularly when you had to go through that transition time.
That's a great question, Tom. If I could go back and relive the end of 2012 into the early part of 2013, the current Major League Baseball replay director, Justin Klim, was the director of minor league baseball at that time, and he called shortly after I had received that call from Major League Baseball and just wanted to thank me for my service. And one of the things he said, he goes, make sure you take the time to properly grieve this. It's in a lot of aspects, some compare it to like a divorce. And you know, he said, remember the good, remember the bad. if you need to cry, cry it out, but take the time to live through all of those emotions. And at the time, I kind of tucked it away and didn't really listen to him. But as months passed, I slowly started thinking about each of those emotions that came with this long 11-year journey. And it really helped me to transition. As I moved towards, you know, my family, we obviously had to be provided for. So I didn't have a lot of time to sit and sulk over what happened. I had to get right back up and find employment. So I had found myself in a sales job in Columbus, and things were going well. And that is actually when I realized the amount of skills outside of just umpiring that I had learned on the field umpiring.
Tell me a little bit about how Jesus Christ came into your life.
Another great one. In 2005, it was my second year attending CFC, which is a ministry that was created by Major League umpire Ted Barrett.
Calling for Christ.
And it was a really neat start. The very first year, they had 12 umpires. Basically, the vision was that we would all meet up. This particular year was in Falls Creek, Oklahoma, and all you had to do was provide your transportation there. Once you got there, your food and lodging was taken care of. And in 2004, I really felt that that's when I started to develop my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then when I went back in 2005, I felt like it was a whole year of transition of God just molding me. And then I made that outward reach to say I want to be baptized in this ministry, and in 2005 is when I turned my life over to Jesus Christ.
Ted Barrett is one of the top major league umpires out there, who you say has put together this conference Calling for Christ, which we both had an opportunity. I think that may be where I first met you. But tell me a little bit about Ted Barrett and what he means to you and what he means to umpires in the major leagues.
Well, Ted is just a I like to call him a gentle giant. He's a boxer and a Major League Baseball crew chief, and he's a large individual. He's over six foot five. He just towers over many people. But talk about God putting a pure heart in somebody. He's an incredible mentor to me, even still, now that I'm in an administrative role with minor league baseball. But his guidance, direction, and vision to all professional umpires, current and past, I can't think of anybody that he's made an ill relationship with that have come through the game of baseball. And he just continues to serve the Lord and ultimately grow the CFC ministry that is specific for being with umpires and talking about the things that they may go through any given season or in the off season.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. It's kind of a trickle-down effect, because you now have been affected greatly by Rob Drake, who was in that also, and by Ted Barrett and by a number of other major league umpires. Now you are encouraging young guys who are coming up through the system, and just talk a little bit about what it's like for a minor league umpire at the low A level. What are the facilities like that they have to get ready in, and what's the grind like?
Well, I can tell you, in having been able to circle back through a lot of these cities that I went through back in 2004, the amenities and clubs have it's definitely gotten better. However, having said that, when you get into some of your short season levels and still some of the low A cities, you know, you're in small towns, you're in small factory towns where there may only be one or two hotels to choose from for the umpires to stay the night. The locker room accommodations may not be suffice to what many would think, and that's where the true grind comes in. I don't think anybody wants to go to an office where the carpet's not cleaned or there's not clean towels and things like that. But that has really improved over the last 10 years, and the challenges that are faced, if anybody's ever watched the movie Bull Durham or any historical baseball movie, you can kind of get a glimpse of what some of these old stadiums look like. And some of the old ones that are still standing, they've made some nice renovations too.
I know also you have a chance, of course, to encourage these guys. Do you ever have a chance to talk to them about their faith as far as how it comes in and fits into their life?
We do absolutely try to connect with these guys on a much more professional level than what I remember coming through. I can remember times where I wouldn't even think about picking up the phone to call my supervisor to ask about a play or a situation that may be going on back home. I may venture towards calling the league president to get their guidance, but nowadays we are much more involved. A lot of times when I'm meeting with the guys, I say, let's expose the white elephants, because the quicker we can expose the deficiencies and the quicker the transparency is there, the more we're able to break down umpiring. Because it's not truly, some look at it as two lifestyles, one on the field and one off the field, but oftentimes that doesn't work out when we try to live two separate ways. So if I can get in there and show these guys that I have a sincere interest in their career, the transparency comes back and often opens up time to share about faith and ultimately back to CFC allows to kind of spot out or fish for good men that would enjoy going down to calling for Christ.
Mark Lolo is our guest. Mark, it's been great being with you again. We always have a good time together wherever we are. I want to close it this way. I don't know if you have a favorite verse. Do you have anything that in the Bible that means a lot to you?
Yes, I do. It's a common one. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength, Philippians 4:13.
How does that fit into your life as an umpire supervisor?
Great question. This not only helps me professionally, but personally. Obviously, I travel a great deal. I don't know that I'm on the road just as much as the umpires, but it's spread out throughout the entire year. So the time that I'm away from my home and my wife and daughters, when I'm missing them or emotional, I can go back to the Word and get the strength I need to get through that day that I may be struggling. And then on conversely, when I'm at work and on the road and maybe having a down day or situations or things kick up to where you just feel like you might be getting a little stressed, it's fall right back on Christ who gives me the strength.
Mark, thanks for spending time with us. Always good to be with you, and look forward to the next time we can do it and hang out together. I appreciate the chance to do that, and thank you for what you give to guys in minor league baseball.
Great seeing you, Tom. Thanks for having me. Until next time, I really appreciate it.
All right, Mark Lolo, the minor league supervisor. We will take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with Mark Lolo, and I certainly enjoyed my time with Mark. As you heard, Mark and I think, first met at the Calling for Christ conference, which involved a number of minor and major league umpires under the auspices of Ted Barrett and Rob Drake. Now, Ted Barrett's done very well, and he's one of the most respected umpires in the major leagues. And Ted just loves to reach out and share his faith, and he shares it often. I know a number of umpires who have become Christians as a result of their direct contact with Ted Barrett. And I met Mark at one of those conferences where there were a number of umpires there, and Teddy graciously let me be a part of it for a couple of days out in Texas. Can't tell you exactly where it was, but it was in the Texas Panhandle, and we had a great time. And got a chance to watch as a number of these umpires were able to hear the gospel. And I would imagine there were some that weekend that may have even accepted Christ for the first time. And there are a lot of umpires in the majors and the minors who have Jesus Christ in their life. And got to give them a lot of credit. It takes just takes a lot of staying and a lot of willpower to stay with being a minor league umpire and a minor league ball player for that matter too. But minor league umpires, they're looking at it as hopefully a long-term career. Maybe not in the minors. They hope to move up, of course, but you have to pay your dues, and that's certainly where they pay it. We had a good time at our face-to-face golf outing, our 19th annual, and guys won it. I think my team came in last. But the team that won on a course that the par is 72, they shot a 57 in their scramble, so you know they played very well. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com. Always something happening with Christian athletes. A number of Christian athletes are always always in the faith and always making headlines, even though a lot of times the regular media does not pay any attention to it. A lot of Christian athletes doing well, and that's where we want to keep you up to date on who they are and what they're doing. Well, as we close for you today, we want to take you to John 16, verse 33, and it says this: I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Those are great words today, because we do live in a troubled world. But when we fall back into the arms of Jesus Christ, we know that he will give us peace. And we know that he will take care of us. So we hope that you'll do that. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.